The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today. So now that it's been returned, there's a part of me that's like, well, it's funny, we're joking about it on the radio, but no harm, no foul.
For the last few months, someone has been stealing equipment from the club. Two nights ago, they pulled a big one. They took a pitching machine, a batting cage, the infield top, and all of Mr. Steinbrenner's vitamins.
Because wouldn't you like, hey, my bad?
Maybe they are going to my bad. Maybe they just haven't my badded yet.
It looks like they knew they did something wrong.
We have reason to believe it's an inside job. So, if anybody here knows anything about it, I recommend strongly that you come forward.
I guess I'm hopeful that there was a face-to-face planned to say, oopsie poopsie.
You know, George, I've been your biggest supporter around here, and that's why I was so disappointed to hear that you've been pilfering the equipment.
George would never do anything like that.
No, why would I? I own it.
Right.
So what are you saying?
Why would George steal from the Yankees?
He wouldn't.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth.
The nostalgia levels were at an all-time high this morning in my house, guys.
Okay.
Kiddos are getting ready for school.
Nostalgia.
You're familiar with the concept.
I am. I'm just trying to figure out what would make you nostalgic.
For yesteryear.
Yeah.
Today.
I would think at home it'd be tough because don't your kids kind of have senioritis just getting ready to be done with the school year?
Oh, definitely. No question.
And I don't know how that would cross.
Although
nostalgia.
That's more of the older child, the high school.
Okay, sure.
The younger kids, I tell them, you only have 6 days left of school. And that concept to them, like 6 days, they're kind of clear on, but time is a tough thing for little kids. They have field day today at school. Who doesn't love field day? I had a blast at field day when I was a kid, and I'm so excited for them to have the opportunity to experience field day.
Field day was great. Spoons with the water.
We did
the relay race.
Yep.
Yeah.
What the hell are you guys talking about?
Field day. We have field day every year at school. Wait, my kids have field day today.
You keep saying field day.
Field.
Like I should know, like, is that a celebration of Justin Fields?
Marshall Fields?
Strawberry Fields?
Forever.
So you're definitely north of the line of demarcation where they haven't even gotten to field day in 2024. Is that what you're telling us?
What the hell is field day?
Are you serious?
A bunch of events that you do towards the end of the year. It's a blast. It's fun.
Outside the whole day, sunscreen it up. Although back in the day, we didn't sunscreen it up. We just got the skin cancer and dealt with it. It's field day. You run the three-legged race. You do the potato sack. Do the 40-yard dash. And we got ribbons for every event. Blue. Red.
Kickball? Wasn't there kickball?
Kickball was one.
Kickball was great.
The cup, you mentioned the cup chew. You put the cup in the bin full of water and you run it across the other side and the first team to fill the bin on the other side wins. Like, you didn't have this highly competitive sports-centric day at school?
That's correct.
tough to do with six kids per class, I guess.
What are you talking about?
I know.
You went to a very similar size school.
We had 20.
can get away with it at 20.
I loved field day. A bit of a sporto over here. So, I mean, for the rest of the year, they're focused on academics, right? And it's all about expanding your mind.
Allegedly.
And for one day out of the year, us jocks got to run around outside and show our dominance, and it was wonderful. And I would come home with blue ribbons all around.
Okay, question for you now. Do parents attend field day?
Yeah, there are volunteers. They need volunteers.
Yeah, okay. I was about to say, you probably need a lot of people to run
these. Did you think that we were competing in field day?
No, enough of the parents having to go to every flipping thing.
Oh, you mean to observe. No, they need volunteers for field day, right? Who's going to run the stations? I can't believe that this is a foreign concept to you. I thought every school had field day. Joshy, did you have field day?
Sure did.
And
many.
Did you dominate?
Hold on, I've got music coming out here, and I don't know where it's coming from. Sorry, that really made me panic. I don't know where. Give me a second.
All right.
What were some of the other events? Wasn't there like a half mile or something?
Maybe that seems like aggressive that. For field day, but
that's called a track meet. Yeah. Track and field. That's something different, apparently, than field day.
Chewy, I imagine you were tug of war. We had a tug of war. I imagine you were great at tug of war.
Yeah.
I'd want you on my tug of war team.
I can't imagine they let you do tug of war anymore, do they?
So that's what I was going to get to. I don't think field day has the same cachet as it once did. I am certain that they no longer hand out ribbons. That I can put my hand to God and swear on. I never got ribbons.
It was there was no real winner. Type thing. It just kind of went out
how
there.
Much younger than me are you?
I'm 35.
I'm 43. So almost a decade. In that decade, did we lose ribbons? Was that the everybody gets a trophy transition?
Not to make this all political, but also schools are kind of struggling. Tough to justify spending money on ribbons.
Yeah, but you could make one in our class.
Yeah, I guess you could have the entire school make ribbons for field day during our class.
It's just so we're clear, these were not high-end ribbons, okay?
Yeah, like,
you pull a string and they would unwind the whole way up. So.
Probably a dollar each.
Maybe less. Maybe, 10 for a dollar type of thing. I'm a little bit... I have that yearning for yesteryear, that idea of running around outside with, wild abandon. The entire day, they provide lunch... They provide snack. You're running over to the hose and drinking off the hose for water breaks and stuff. And today my kids will have a version of field day, but I think it'll be a little more kumbaya and yay, you did so well. I think it'll be a lot of that today.
Well, also because, how old are your younger ones?
6 and 4, but you got to teach them eventually.
Well, yeah, but I don't think they're doing tug of war at 6.
Would be pretty funny.
I think is the larger point there.
To be fair, my 6-year-old would be on the ground immediately. And then she'd be like, oh my God! We love her so much. Do you think Gabe would have absolutely crushed at field day, Chew?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Gabe would have been all over it.
I feel like I was ripped off at this point.
I feel like you were as well.
Well, from a competitive standpoint, you two are probably neck and neck. Josh, are you competitive?
When the time calls for
it. That's how I am. Well, we know you're competitive at wiffle ball.
Josh is ready to...
Having blown out your calf.
Yes.
Trying to stretch a double into a triple.
I'm not Gabe competitive, but I can get lost in the game.
I'm done. My competitiveness is
fried. Once you've reached the height of competitiveness. I can see how that can happen.
Yeah, but I used to love golf.
Sure.
No, nah.
Not so
People
much.
Ask me to golf all the time, and yeah.
Let's put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll. Did you have field day at school as a kid? Gabe Neitzel did not. The town of Horicon did not. But I have a list here in front of me of things that people would do. We talked about fill the bucket. Cheese ball challenge. Did anybody do the cheese ball challenge?
What is that?
They put a cheese ball on a spoon. I think that's kind of what you were talking about. You said there was water in a spoon or something.
Yeah.
You put a cheese ball in a spoon and you run across and you have to drop your cheese ball.
That was the
in.
Water.
It's just basically a relay race.
Evolved.
And they just hula hoop rolling. You to roll the hula hoop down to the end. Same thing. A lot of relay races. A lot of team activities.
Well, because, you've got a large school. You got to get everybody involved. You don't want kids just standing around.
Dodgeball.
Wanting to be engaged.
I don't remember dodgeball at field day.
It was just the primal instinct of, I'm going to try and peg this girl in the head because I like her. Remember those days?
Yeah, we played keep away like that.
So basically what you're telling me is field day is probably like the genesis of the whole Minute to Win It franchise.
Oh, absolutely. 100%. Yes. We didn't do the Kleenex thing, pulling the Kleenex out of the box when we were in school. But those types of games. Yes. For speed and accuracy. And then, of course, you were competing with your class. And sometimes they would do it where a class competes against another class. So the entire 6th grade is competing against the entire 7th grade. And that's how you kind of build up that camaraderie and morale. And it's just a great way towards the end of the school year, something to look forward to where you're not in the classroom. You know, not a book will be cracked on field day. So that's what my kids are doing
today.
Yeah,
it's a little stressful, though.
Please explain.
Stressful from the standpoint of God, I hope I made it to the next grade. See what I'm saying?
No. That was literally
never
a worry
crossed your mind
that I had a day
I'd say
in my life.
Third, fourth, fifth that crossed my mind. I was a troublemaker.
In fourth grade, you were worried about making it to fifth?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of what we're doing in fourth grade that would have given you so much
I was
trouble.
Say, I don't remember grades that much.
Having real trouble
I
writing your name in
problems.
Cursive.
Multiplication. I mean, what are we talking about here?
I had focus problems, which you guys probably, it's hard for you to believe.
Count by twos, Chu.
What?
I'm just saying, I'm trying to think of the curriculum again in fourth grade. I know
I was more interested in, because I, you know, back in the day, I went to grade school in the 70s, and the school was heated by water pipes. So I thought it'd be cool one time to put crayons all the way down the water pipes, to which I
got in trouble.
Got in a little bit of trouble.
I mean, but it was kind of cool to see the crayons melt,
hey,
right?
Just out of curiosity, when you got in trouble, what was that conversation like? Like, what did the teacher say when you would get in trouble?
Ah, she'd just go right to the parents.
Would she be like, Mark, I'm so disappointed in you?
She'd just point and go to the principal's office.
You knew what that meant, did you?
Yeah, yeah.
Mark, just single point.
800-990-3776. Did you have a field day when you were a kid in school? And what are some of the best field day games? I've got a long list here. Things I didn't think of. I did mention the three-legged race. Old clothes relay. First person to run a pile of clothes, put them on over their clothes, get large sizes so the kids can put them over there. And then you run back down. Roll a ball from point A to point B using a stick. Okay, I went to high school. I went to school in the 90s, yeah. Not the 50s.
Well, let's bring this to sports. Does LaFleur do the stuff Sherman used to do, take them bowling and paintball and all this? Or is that kind of so.
They have
gone
yeah.
by the
Where
wayside?
The last day of the mandatory OTA is usually a team building exercise.
Okay, so say that's their field day.
Yeah, they've done bowling, they've done paintball, they've done, yeah, a okay. lot of different things over the years.
Balloon pop? I'm seeing balloon pop on the list here.
What's balloon pop?
So you'd put the balloon between your legs, you'd waddle down to the end, and then when you get there, you have to sit on the balloon until it popped, and then you run back. It's a relay.
Okay.
Right? See, Gabe, I know I'm enticing
what do you
mean? With all
I mean,
of these, right? Like, these are exciting
you
for young
ask,
Gabe.
You can't do the chewy thing and ask right, because I don't know.
I don't know.
Good you call. Have to explain
Yeah,
it
I've
to
never
me.
Heard of that one.
Really? You never played
Are you like my brother, though, my oldest brother?
What's that?
Who would go up at, you know, 22 years old, play against 10-year-olds and just try to dominate them.
What are you doing? I'm dominating. Same skill level.
Yeah.
No, I will not go and dominate 10-year-olds. No.
All right. Reaction rolling in on the ESPN Milwaukee Talk and Text line. Chef Ed saying, do you mean field trip day when you would go to a Brewers game or a museum? Nope. Different sort of day outside of the classroom,
yeah,
Chef
field
Ed.
Trip, yes. I am familiar with field trips.
Oh,
that's...
so they had buses in Horicon, but throwing together
balloons.
Eight games.
We are going to the Horicon Marsh.
Oh, again.
Frankie weighing in saying, we had skills day. Honestly, it was just a day where all of us kids could get out of the classroom and we would converse more than anything else. Jamie in Orlando saying, Chewy is right. We used to run a quarter mile race during our field day and I dominated it. Jared says my 7-year-old had his field day rained out and he was devastated. Justin in Middleton saying we had hurdles at our field day. Now that
seems dangerous.
That seems like a bad idea.
Seems dangerous.
You're supposed to stay on the ground for most of these activities.
So is field day then also the parents' favorite day? Because this sounds like your kids are coming home exhausted.
Yes, that is another positive byproduct of the field day, Gabe. Yes. See, now you're catching up.
Running around all day. I got to imagine that your kids are just collapsing when they walk through the front door tonight.
Dave from Aaron saying, we had the good dodgeballs back in the day.
The little ones.
Not the soft Sally ones, is what he said.
We had the little ones that you could really...
Maybe they were regular sized dodgeballs, but because of your giant hits.
Because you're Andre the Giant over here.
They don't play dodgeball anymore, do they?
Not really.
Too dangerous?
From my understanding.
Really?
Because they had guys like you going, ooh, I like you.
Well, and now they're all
90 mile an hour fastball.
Big trouble. Exactly. Mike in Kenosha is waiting patiently on the line. Good morning, Mike. You're on with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Do you remember field day? Have you participated in field day?
I'm a teacher. We had field day this week.
And Gabe, who did not experience this as a child, can you give him some of the best parts of field day?
Oh, the best parts? Well, I was listening earlier, you guys. It is about building camaraderie. it is about trying to get the kids to work together as a team and care about each other. Some kids don't know how to do that in this day and age. It surprises me, because you would think the kids want to have fun and play. Kids don't know how to play. Most of what they want to do is on a computer.
Yeah.
Video games.
What were some of
that?
What were some of the events?
Well, you guys mentioned rolling the hula hoop. Yeah, we would roll. We had the kids rolling the hula hoop to try to when it fall over to catch the bowling pins, because those counted for points.
Ah. Okay.
We had a dinosaur dig. We had trays of dirt, and we had toy dinosaurs in there, and the kids would go down and dig out the dinosaurs.
Oh, this is all new to me.
It seems like a lot of prep work that needs to be done on the teacher's side for some of these as well.
I remember minimal when we were kids. Maybe it's evolved.
It has evolved. In the elementary schools, we get the fifth graders, the highest grade, to help out with the little guys, because nowadays the fifth graders think it's all passe. Oh, we're too cool for that.
Yeah.
But helping the first and second graders do it, that gives them that nice warm fuzzy feeling. Like, hey, I got to help.
I kind of remember popsicles at the end of it all too.
Absolutely, there were popsicles.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Okay. Or ice cream sandwiches.
Yeah. Here you go, teacher. Pass out the popsicles.
Love it. Thanks for the call. We appreciate you. I see another one here saying human. I just lost it. Hold on. Human ring toss. So the humans stand there, and you take the hula hoop, and you try to ring your
hoop. Oh, I thought you were throwing people.
I was about to say.
I would dominate.
I was about to say, did this person go to school when the king and queen were ruling the land?
Throwing people.
The ones that stick out to me are like the classic water balloon toss. You take a step back.
Yes, love that
one. The three-legged race.
Yes, love that one.
And the wheelbarrow race where you got someone.
Oh, I forgot all about the wheelbarrow race.
That would ones.
Crush my tiny little wrists. Not have the wrist strength to be
doing some more push-ups
on my hands. That's not going to do the wrist.
Oh yeah, well, you lock them in.
Okay,
guys have stronger wrists.
I knew someone was going to say it. I was just waiting to see who it was. 800-990-3776. Lots of reaction. It does appear as many of you are remembering fondly your field days. My kids have field day today at school. My girls were very excited as they were getting ready for it this morning to celebrate field day. We've got Jason Wilde coming up next. Lots of stuff coming out of 1265, including Jair Alexander stepping in front of a microphone and filling it with wonder. We'll talk about that right after this.
Ready, down, put.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
We love spending time with our friend and teammate Jason Wilde talking all things green and gold. But before we get to Jair, Jason, did you have field day when you were a kid in school?
I would appreciate it if you would refer to me as St. Paul's West Allis Lutheran School 7th and 8th grade softball throw champion.
Yes, the softball throw.
I remember the softball throw.
Thank you, Jason. Yes, exactly. And we certainly will. Much like Jair Alexander is the best corner in the league, we will happily refer to you as that going forward. So let's talk about Jair Alexander for a moment. What was the reaction to his declaration yesterday at the media avail?
No idea. I wasn't there yet. Which was great, by the way, because it allowed me then to swoop in at the end. And look, I tell you guys this all the time, that it's not about the questions, it's about the answers. And I don't care if your answer, I love Dennis Krause, for example. Dennis Krause is like bizarro Wilde, right? Like, his questions are concise. We were talking about how Pat Murphy kind of blew off his counsel question after the first Brewers Cubs game the other night. I mean, sometimes concise works, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes long-winded works, sometimes it doesn't. But, toward the end of our time with Jair, like, I just I had been there for most of it. I was not there for the declaration. I was talking to Josh Jacobs. But, like, I didn't really feel there had been one reference where he said that, you know, that he basically needs to think more about the team than himself. But other than that, like, he kind of talked about a lot of other stuff and done sometimes what Jair sometimes does, which is obfuscate the conversation. And so I just was like, no, this could have gone the other way, right? Like, plenty of corners have forced their way out of where they were because they were unhappy. Josh Norman back in the day, Jalen Ramsey has done it. Like, all these guys have, right? And so I just think it's really interesting that right now, and again, we have to wait and see if this is something that is reflected in his attitude throughout the course of training camp and through the season, and how he plays and all that stuff. But right now, the vibe, the aura around this guy is exactly what they were hoping it would be when they suspended him, that the relationship would be better for it. And it was easy to say that back in December, because it was all happy talk and hopeful talk, but it would appear that the confluence of Xavier McKinney's arrival, the change in strength and conditioning staff, which I thought was really, really interesting, that he got to town 2 to 3 weeks before the off-season program began, spent time with the new strength and conditioning staff, and really hit it off with them and felt like they really listened to him, which I thought was interesting. The change in the defensive coaching staff, whether it's Jeff Hafley or Derek Ansley, like, that obviously has changed things. But it feels like this has played out exactly how you would have hoped, that you got your two-time All-Pro player back to a really good headspace where he could be a really good player for you.
Yeah, but Jason, wasn't he doing the same thing last year, him and Rasul running their mouth and saying how good the defense? I mean, I don't like guys like
different,
this.
Different, though.
Is right. I just don't like guys like this. If you got to talk about how great you are, you're insecure, right?
Yeah, I agree. I'm not a fan of that. You never talked about how great you were, but that's because you weren't that great.
Yeah.
So we're all in agreement.
What a pop by Jason.
It's true, though.
and you know I love you, buddy.
I didn't see it coming.
And you also know I know how good you were. But so let me be clear with this, because first of all, I did not think he was. Like, there was that glimpse of that kind of braggadocio with that line when he walked up. But beyond that, like, I really did feel like he was, and you're right, maybe he's just selling it. And I have been duped before. And if you read my story from the State Journal and on Madison.com today, you can see that I am hedging at every turn. You know, 6 weeks of an off-season program do not a turnaround make. So I want to make sure that I'm saying this clearly, that I am not saying that we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that this guy is a changed guy. That said, and look, because again, I fell for the Andre Rison act. I fell for the Martellus Bennett act. So I am not above being tricked into thinking guys aren't who we think they are. But in this case, I do think the circumstances give you a little more evidence that this could be legit, because again, I it was one thing to get suspended and for Goody and LaFleur to talk about how we hope we'll be better on the other side, and LaFleur admitting that he did a bad job of communicating with Jair. Like, I told you guys this at the time, like, I had heard the two of them weren't even barely speaking, and that's a problem. And so that seems to have changed, but this change with the strength and conditioning staff, better communication with the athletic training and medical staff, more connectivity with the defensive coaches. He clearly likes Derek Ansley much better than he liked the setup previously in the back end. And then most importantly, I would say, is that we all know he didn't like Joe Barry and he didn't like Joe Barry's system. I mean, what were they, one game into it when he started complaining about it? So I think that all those things, most importantly, the defensive system change, like all we keep hearing when it comes to the defensive backfield is that they're going to play this vision and break zone coverage instead of all the man-to-man we thought we were going to see. And that should allow Jaire Alexander to put up better interception numbers. So all that stuff, and don't underestimate Xavier McKinney's arrival. Like, Jaire didn't go out and make a diamond-encrusted pendant of the captain C like Za'Darius Smith did after he didn't get elected a captain. But we know he was really bothered by that. And after Za'Darius Smith and Jaire's issues with the captaincy, LaFleur went back to the old days of having game-by-game captains instead of season-long captains. So that was clearly another issue. And I think you could tell when he talked about Xavier McKinney and said, I call him my big little bro because he's younger, but I think he was implying that there's a maturity to McKinney that is valuable, that he's in kind of a job sharing arrangement with leadership in the back. And now I think that there are a lot of reasons to be encouraged that yesterday was not just some performance art of I'm a changed man and believe me because I'm telling you that.
You said you also were talking with Josh Jacobs yesterday. Anything interesting coming out of your conversation with the newest Packers running back?
Yeah, it was my first time getting to talk to him because when they introduced him and McKinney, I think Tausch and Jesse and I were at a remote, and so I didn't get to go. And I was really impressed with him. Like, and you guys know, Jen especially, know that I'm a big Aaron Jones guy. But I think while this guy's different, I was really impressed with him. And what I think is interesting is that, he has not practiced fully during the two open OTAs. He did do some half speed 11 on 11 yesterday, which he had not done previously. But like, here's a guy who we know what he is, right? Like, he led the NFL in rushing one year. We know his rushing style. We know that he is a good player. And yet he was telling me how he's got this kind of, even though he knows that these are just helmets and shorts practices and it's not that, it's not the end of the world that he's not able to do everything. Like, he's got this itch to be out there just because he wants to show all of his new teammates, hey, here's what you've got in me. And I thought that was really interesting because there is, and again, this does not translate to, oh, we're going to the Super Bowl. But there is that kind of undercurrent with all these guys of just, there's just a really good vibe. And Chewy, you know this. I was around your really good teams in 96, 97. You could feel that.
Mm-hmm.
You could also feel it in like 98 when Dorsey broke his leg early in the season and you guys were going through running backs left and right and Holmgren was pissed off because he was still in Green Bay and hadn't gotten the Seahawks job yet and all the other stuff that was going on, you could feel that vibe was off. And so there were times during past off seasons when Rodgers wasn't there and other guys weren't coming that it wasn't a great vibe. And there's just the vibe right now around these guys is just really, really, as Mike McCarthy would say, positive.
Ladies and gentlemen, the 7th and 8th grade Field Day softball champion has entered the chat. I couldn't remember the name of your elementary school. Sorry, Jason.
It's okay. My softball throwing prowess at McCarty Park near the lagoon has gotten way more attention than it deserved today. That's for sure.
All right, Jason. We appreciate your insight. Have a great one, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, everybody. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Take care. Be good.
He's Jason Wilde. You can hear him on Wilde and Tausch right after Jen, Gabe, and Chewy right here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. We will continue the show right after this.
Tune in to Thanalysis Show each and every week. Bucks player Thanasis Antetokounmpo sits down with special guests to have fun and honest conversations. Conversations with NBA stars Damian Lillard, Donovan Mitchell, and more, plus basketball media royalty like Jay Williams and Stephen A. Smith. A lot of shows already up as part of Season 2, so find Thanalysis Show today on Apple, Spotify, or anywhere else you get your podcasts. Subscribe to the Thanalysis Show YouTube channel as well for accompanying videos and special content.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I mean, this world is geared towards women.
Like, what do we get? I am stepping away from this. Goodbye.
Like, what do we get? They get a comb that dries your hair. We get a stupid razor. Hey, I mean, what's the coolest thing we get? They get the hair dryer?
Control.
On 94.5 ESPN.
With a local Milwaukee team, Fifth Third Bank knows what success looks like. They've been serving businesses and individuals in the area for nearly 15 years, including a long-standing commitment to the healthcare industry. From expansion to treasury management, Fifth Third offers a full suite of financial services and solutions across the healthcare spectrum to meet the complex moments you're navigating. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, custom solutions built around your goals. Member FDIC.
Tell my friends the truth. You're a bad habit and I'm a bad boyfriend. I'm a drug addict. You're my favorite boy.
Right back here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. We just got finished talking to Jason Wilde, and it was dominated mostly by Jair Alexander talk because Jair yesterday stepped in front of a microphone and had a lot to say. Let's take a listen to the biggest difference he sees between last year and this year contributing to his happiness.
I met the strength staff first, and they were great. Like, they were, you know, there was a mutual respect, and I was willing to work with them, you know. And then I met the coaches next, and same there. So, I mean, it was all good vibes from the get-go. I mean, that propelled me here as well, you know, talking with Matt, talking with Booty. You know, like, I've seen them, like, several times throughout this offseason before I even came back to OTA. So just having that relationship and building that, you know, it's been helpful.
You buying it or are you still a little suspect on Jair's ability to be a leader in this defense, Chew?
I roll my eyes at guys like that. I've rolled my eyes when I played at some guys. And this is just like, and I would imagine there's guys in the locker room that are just like, shut up and just play football. You know, stop making it about you. Am I right or wrong?
So some guys, though, Chew, just like some guys like you were the designated yell guy. And you could take it. And sometimes even yelling at you would probably help and work. Some guys don't. Some guys, in order to motivate themselves, and I guess this is kind of what I've learned from you about the mental space you need to get yourself in order to step on an NFL field.
Mm-hmm.
In order for him to get himself in that mental space, he probably has to talk himself up. That's probably where he has to get. So if Jair, I want that Jair. I want that confident Jair because that's what's going to likely lead to him being the best version of himself on the field. And if him stepping up, if that gives him the confidence stepping up to the media and going, hey, best cornerback in the league has entered the chat. If that's what gets him, fine. Then that's what gets him to that space.
But it's crying wolf. You did the exact same last year and you sucked, you know, and you didn't play half the year. So I'm like, fine, you can be great. I don't think you're the best corner in the league, but you can be a very, very good player. Just like, to me, it's just turn off the noise, you know, just go play football.
But he's always been quirky, right? We've known this about him since the day he set foot at 1265. He's always been a quirky player. So there is that thing of like, sure, dial it down, especially when you're not performing. And that was the issue with Jair last year, right? Besides all of the, you know, running out to the middle of the field and pretending to be a captain when you're not a captain because you think you deserve the captain because it was your hometown. Besides all of that nonsense, he did not perform as well as we have come to expect a player of Jair's certainly pay scale and his reputation. That was the biggest issue with him last year. Now, he would probably blame the way he was being used. He obviously had issues with the defensive staff and the way that Joe Barry was running that defense. But there's got to be a happy medium. Because there is, to me, that part of just shut up and put up. Put up and shut up. Put up or shut up. Shut up and put up is what I'm talking about here. I just want to see you be dominant. And it does feel like the Xavier McKinney thing, and I know Jason addressed it, is sort of a good thing for his development and his evolution as a leader.
In terms of that clip that we just heard, I guess the thing that stood out to me the most was him using the words mutual respect. And the fact that he's talking about this mutual respect that exists between not just him and the coaching staff, him and the training staff. Yeah, there's this mutual respect, so it was easy to work with them. It makes me wonder if he did not get that from the previous staff, or he felt like he was not getting that from the previous staff.
But sometimes you're not going to get respect until you give respect. I mean, is that fair to say? Also, there's a hierarchy. Like, ostensibly, the strength staff and the defensive staff are above Jair in the hierarchy. But, sometimes, too, you have to give respect to people you don't want to give respect to.
Yeah, and you want him as a leader? A guy that's going to be, hey, if it ain't going good, then I'm out.
Or if I'm not, like if I'm not feeling the
you
love.
You want him as a leader? I don't. I mean, half the stuff Reggie said, I didn't listen to because I'm like, whatever. Jeez, I'm crow. I need this to motivate me. And there's things that Reggie did that drove me nuts.
Sure.
You know?
But that's what he needed to get himself going. You know? Yeah. And different.
But Reggie was great. And he was great all the time.
Were you going to say different strokes for different folks?
Well, no, I wasn't going to.
That's a great show. Great show.
I think it's important for us, as we've kind of developed here in terms of learning about other people and what other people need to be great. Like, we know here, managing even people who work here, some people get motivated by saying, hey, pick it up, you suck. Some people need to be brought along. Some people need stronger support systems. Obviously, the most ideal person is somebody who shows up to work, does great, and needs none of that extra stuff. But if that's what Jair needs to be great, it behooves everyone on the team to recognize that and help in ways they can. Because I imagine he's not the only one who behaves similarly. So I don't think saying...
Which is fine, Joshy, but I don't want him leading me out of the tunnel.
Which I don't think he is, though.
I think he wants to be.
I think he wants
and
to be that.
That is the disconnect, right? We have talked about that over and over again on this program and on others. There are some people who think they're leaders, but they're just not. They don't have the chemical makeup. They don't have the qualities necessary to actually lead effectively. And the worst combination of that is when you think you're a leader and you're not. Because you're going to try all the things. You're going to say all the things. You're going to try to rally the troops. And most people see through it. And that is a bad combination. And I am okay, honestly, guys, if Xavier McKinney wants to take over that leadership role based on what we've seen, based on what we've heard for those defensive backs. And it sounds like there might be a sort of changing of the guard. Even that Jair Alexander is maybe willing to allow in that defensive. And that's where I'm now, because I don't necessarily think that Jair Alexander has the chemical makeup, the character makeup to be a leader for that unit. And that's okay, because not everyone is. Let's take a listen to Matt LaFleur, who also weighed in on how Jair Alexander has been different this season.
Outstanding. Just, again, he's been here every day, shows up, great attitude, eager to learn, is out there competing with the guys, talking trash, which I love, because I love just amping up that level of competition in a fun way. You know, he's never demeaning. I think he's been a great teammate and been a great leader for us.
See, it's easy to grow in ideal conditions. Sun's perfect, water's perfect, soil's perfect. It's easy to grow, flourish. The best people figure out a way when things aren't going their way, when things aren't great and ideal, to flourish. And it's feeling a little, and I don't know this for certain, but it is feeling a little like when the circumstances aren't perfect, when Jair isn't feeling the love or feeling mutual respect, that he shuts down and there's a potential to become a malcontent. And I want to see, in this evolution of Jair, maybe when things go sideways, your ability to rise above and still be that guy who can perform and can lead.
I have a hard time blaming him for much of what happened under Joe Barry. We all knew he stunk. We all knew it. And we all knew it for years. Literally years we knew it. And he's just supposed to, okay, I guess. Well,
but he's a goof.
Very good.
He's a goof.
So I'm just
anyone that
do
goes out and
I
declares
want
himself a captain,
sure,
when he's not a captain,
100%.
I don't want to follow. He's a goof. If he's talking in the middle of the huddle, you know where I am? I'm on the outside looking at the clock to see when the game's going to start.
Sure, but I mean, so he's just supposed to, though, just, okay, well, he's bad, and I guess
no,
I just have to listen to
that.
What he's bad. You
it's
know what I'm saying?
Like, but guys are like, just go play football, please.
But you can't shut down, I think, is the point. You can't shut down. You can't, again, not ideal. You don't like the guy. You don't agree with his defensive
team. He doesn't like
you. Me?
Well, no.
Joe Barry.
Joe Barry. Like,
he doesn't even know me. Although he probably would have. Let's be clear.
I think Jair just needs to be a lead by your play guy.
Yes.
When things aren't the best, just go out there and play damn good football, and that's all anybody needs from you, because everyone else will follow you.
And totally. Justin weighing in on the ESPN Milwaukee Talk and Text line saying, I'm confused. Was he not just answering reporters' questions? Is he not supposed to talk? I don't get the shut up and play football part. Justin, I'm not talking about don't talk, don't be a mute. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying you don't need to say things like the greatest corner in the league has entered the chat. Like, those are the things like that Chewy kind of get under the guys like Chewy's skin. Just go play. Dominate with your play. Let your play do the talking. Yes, answer questions when you're in a media scrum, obviously.
But what if he's that guy that motivates himself by talking like that?
That's fine.
And that gets himself to that sport.
But don't expect guys to follow him.
Oh, yeah, I don't think anybody is going to follow him. And I think that that could be an issue. I don't have an issue with him stepping up the microphone, calling himself the best quarterback.
That's his personality. Have at it.
That's what I'm saying.
Am I going to listen to you when you address the team? Not one bit.
I don't think he addresses the team, to be honest.
Not
it didn't seem like he was addressing the team much last year.
The problem with him is when you say the best cornerback in the league has entered the chat, well, you haven't been that for 3 years.
Yeah.
So I know that might be motivating you, but you have to understand that people are going to look at you and go,
roll their
okay,
eyes.
Dude.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. That's I don't have a problem with him saying it.
I don't either.
Which, based upon what Jason said, I think it was last year, that this guy's kind of a loner, which is fine, would lead me to believe there's a lot of guys in that locker room that feel like me. You know? I don't think athletes really change that much when it comes to leadership and motivation. Yeah.
Guys are motivated and by different things, right?
Sure.
You know, some guys, because while you rolled your eyes at, okay, Reggie's talking, I'm going to go in my corner by my locker, I'm sure there were some guys that were motivated by that.
Yeah, probably.
You know, but when you have such a big locker room and 53 guys, it's not everything's going to work for everyone. And because it's professional football, you got to do a little bit of on your own to get yourself ready.
Sure, there's different kind of leaders. Like Brett rarely said anything. He only got up in front of the team because he really felt it got to the point where he needed to. But you follow Brett because the guy plays with broken bones and this and that. Mm-hmm. And that's leadership. It's like,
oh, 100%.
And I talked about it a million times. Like, you feel guilty sitting out with a sprained ankle when this guy's in a boot on Friday and playing on Sunday. You're like, I ain't sitting out.
Yeah.
This guy's doing it. I'm doing it. That's leadership right there.
Jared weighing in saying, DBs like to talk a lot of trash. A lot of it is likely to get in the wide receivers' heads. Look at the Saints' Lattimore getting in the Buccaneers' Evans and the fights that break out. So maybe he's saying that this type of personality is actually good at the position if you can rattle an opposing player. Justin also weighing in saying, JR to me is not a leader. He needs a support system around him where he feels listened to and validated. Once Razul left, the wheels fell off for Jair. Seems like the arrival of some leaders in the locker room like McKinney and the improved communication is doing wonders for Jair. 800-990-3776. We're putting it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter account. Do you think Jair is a leader for this defense? Do you expect him this season to be a leader, or are you okay with him just going out, dominating at ball, and letting the leadership fall to other players in the defensive backs room? Let us know, 800-990-3776. Have you guys tried Celsius Energy Drink yet? If you haven't, let me tell you all about it. It's the clean energy drink that you need to stay active and energized all day long. I need Celsius to get through these long days, especially starting with the show and then going through the kids' activities well into the evening. Peach Vibe, that's my go-to flavor. And I know y'all are buying the Peach Vibe because I can't find it at my stores when I try to find it. And that's getting frustrating, but I appreciate that we're all on the same page with regards to the Peach Vibe. You can find it at Pick and Save or online at Amazon. Stay active and energized all day long with Celsius Essential Energy Drinks.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
My father would always say, and there's a rhyme and a reason to it, he said, if you wear your rubbers in the house, you'll go blind. Do the two youngsters on the show here even know what rubbers are? I'm talking the ones that go over the shoes.
On 94.5 ESPN.
If you love sports betting, you have to make your way to Sportsbook at Pottawatomie Casino Hotel Milwaukee. It has everything a sports fanatic could possibly want. And I've told you about this many times, guys. 2,000 square foot video wall. It's incredible. Can we split up into smaller screens so you can watch more games at once on those busy MLB days or those busy NFL days? The kitchen is the new restaurant. The smells are fantastic. The tastes are even better. There's a VIP deck. There's a broadcast booth and seating for over 200 people. If you're in a rush, they've got free parking. It's 20-minute reserved parking spaces right near the Skywalk. They have figured it all out. It is a new era of sports betting at Pottawatomie Casino Hotel. Get in on the action at the new Sportsbook. Lots of reaction rolling in, guys, regarding Jair Alexander. And I want to be clear on this. I don't think any of us dislike Jair. I don't think any of us dislike his bravado or the vibe he carries. It's fun. And if he plays good football, heck, if he plays great football, no one cares what he says when he steps to the podium, right? Just go out there and play. It's the, do you have the makeup to be a leader on this defense, or are you okay giving those duties to somebody else, handing the reins over to a Xavier McKinney or somebody else. I think that's what we're trying to nail down here this morning on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Lots of reaction rolling in. Justin saying, I'd like to add, when it comes to the cornerback position in general, we're talking about one of the hardest positions in all of sports. I think these dudes need to almost live in a delusional world to be successful when it comes to talking themselves up. Do you agree, Chew?
Yeah, probably some guys do, you know, which is fine, you know, if that's what you need to do. But don't expect people to like what he does. You know, I would typically tune myself out. I mean, he's different because the general rule is if you need to talk trash on a football field, most times you suck. You know, all the guys I came across, now there are exceptions like John Randall, but John Randall was just funny. He'd get into your bio and ask if he could date your sister and things like that. But
did you say yes?
No, it was Timberman.
Did Timberman say yes?
Timberman didn't know what the hell he was doing. So what's fine, but just don't expect people to like it or follow it. If you need that, if that's what you need to motivate yourself, then fine. But I'm certainly not listening to you when you address the team or anything. I just have no interest in
it. And Andrew agrees with that. He says maybe Jair did try to be a leader for a few years and then just decided the situation isn't going to change. I agree with Joshy. I've been in a work situation like that with a bad boss for years. I put my head down and did my job. Jair is a goof, so only some players will respond to that personality.
Yeah, that's... Again, it was bad. We knew it was bad under Joe Barry. And the other thing that he talked about was communication. That's bad. You got to be able to communicate with the people that you're managing, if that's the role that we're talking about with a defensive coordinator. It seems like, at least, again, through the first 6 weeks, the new defensive staff, a lot more open to having conversations or at least just communicating with the players.
And that's a sign of a good leadership up top. Because you guys always talk about how everybody needs to be handled differently, right? Some people, Joshy, you've said it before. I've heard them talk about this on Wildy and Tausch. Not everybody needs to be motivated and led the same way. If Halfley came in, recognized the idiosyncrasies of Jair Alexander, said, I can get the best out of that guy, but I got to tweak my approach a little bit with him. Not everybody, but with him. To me, that's a sign of a good leader in that spot. Recognizing what each guy needs from their boss to get the best out of him.
But a good leader also understands that there's no value in demeaning a coach while the season is going on, right? And he's the only one that did it out of, what, 11 guys on the defense, right? There's no value to it whatsoever.
I mean, in fairness, a couple of seasons ago, he wasn't alone because his defensive backs coach was also demeaning the defensive coordinator in a press conference. So an example there set by somebody in leadership and management.
It just doesn't.
He wasn't there anymore.
Yeah. Well, this guy's not even here to hold me back. I'm just going to let it go. Yeah. Let it fly.
I mean, there's a thousand. Well, not a thousand, but there's a handful of times. It'd be a nice call, Mike. What are you, drunk? You know? Because you look at one another in the huddle and you're like, what? We're running this now? You know? Brett, check out of it.
The chewy tight end pass?
Just check. Yeah. Why deep cross?
I think there's just a certain amount of, Jair, you can't act that way you did. Things were bad, yes, and things are going to change. But when things get, like, if they get this to this same situation as last season, don't lash out. Don't just walk onto the field and make yourself captain. Like, that's unacceptable. And he seemed to show contrition for that. So maybe he's growing as well as the Packers defense is growing. Like, these are all options you have to keep factoring in as a possibility.
I would venture to bet that most guys have the same feeling as I do, is it's Jair being Jair.
Yes.
Yeah. Which is fine.
But don't ask to lead. Don't ask me to follow you.
But at the end of the day,
yeah,
for this defense to be as good as it can be,
yeah,
they need Jair to be Jair.
Yes.
On the field.
Sure.
Right? Because I think we're all in agreement that the nonsense of him going out in the middle of the field and acting like he was captain when he wasn't captain, that's inexcusable, right? We're not chalking that up to, it's just Jair being Jair, right?
Now, if that happened in my day, I realize that was a long time ago, someone would have grabbed them by the back of the shoulder pads and said, grow up, what are you doing? They don't do that anymore, you know? You would think Preston Smith would be like, what are you doing? This isn't how you become a successful football team. Stop making it all about you.
And again, it seems like he has learned and been very contrite for that.
We'll see.
He has to prove it. That's certain.
We'll see.
But he's every step since then has been the correct, step.
Yes.
800-990-3776. Trucker Mark weighing in saying he said something about mutual respect, right? Maybe him and X and maybe even Clark have a lead by committee idea now. Could be an extension of that mutual respect. I think he can lead. And if given the chance, I think we will see him mature even more. Keep getting us your reaction to the Jair Alexander comments yesterday, 800-990-3776. It is your cue to call, 800-990-3776. We are giving away two tickets to the Snoop Dogg concert at Pottawatomie Casino Hotel. Don't miss your chance to see the one and only Snoop Dogg at Pottawatomie Amplified. It's a new concert series kicking off with the legendary rap film and media icon Snoop Dogg, dropping like it's hot on Saturday, June 15th. So we will take caller number 5 right now, 800-990-3776. Caller number 5 right now wins two tickets to see Snoop Dogg at Pottawatomie Amplified.